It was such a nice sounding year, 2020. What could be better than that? Symmetry and perfect vision, 2020, all together. Now, the end of it can't come soon enough, can it? We did, however, get a lot of very funny cartoons and one-liners this year out of it, like this. 2020 is a unique leap year. It had 29 days in February, 300 days in March, and 5 years in April. In the life of Christian faith, though, we still count the years since the birth of Jesus Christ. The church year, what we call the liturgical year, ends this week with today's solemn feast called Christ the King of the Universe, or Christ King of the Cosmos. Today there is good news, which has not been the least bit damaged or tarnished by what has happened in the world. It was never diminished by wars and plagues and unrest in the past, and it sure isn't lost because of this year's events. We may have lost it because of the events in the world and in our personal lives, but the truth has not changed. God has not changed. In the middle of the chaos, God is still in charge, even more so, and Jesus Christ is still the King. Jesus began his public ministry with the proclamation that the kingdom of God is at hand. At the Last Supper, the conclusion of his earthly ministry, he declared, "I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Brothers and sisters in Christ, that kingdom is in the future. Today's gospel tells us that, to be sure. But it is also here with us now, at this moment. Today, let us dig deeper into how this is so. Christ the King Sunday celebrates the all-embracing authority of Christ as King and Lord of the cosmos. It celebrates his sovereignty over all men, women, and children, and the full and final triumph of the one through whom the entire universe was created and by whom it will be completely remade at the end of all time. So let us rejoice that this is the same Jesus who holds nothing back in his love for us. In between the two world wars of the 20th century, the atheistic powers of communism and fascism were leading the world towards an anti-religious, secular worldview. Pope Pius XI introduced this feast to make the statement that even if a country stops being Christian, and even when devotion to Christ is discouraged or outlawed, the Pope wanted to make it clear that Christ is still our King, no matter what governments might have to say about it. Now, you know that we have three cycles of Bible readings for Sundays. Next year, the readings for this feast, year B, are about the majesty of God, a glorious King and ruler. But this year's readings, year A, tell us about an unusual God who is the shepherd of his people. I once knew a woman who had just become Catholic, and she had this issue with using the terms Lord and King for God. She said to me, "I don't use the word Lord for God. I don't want to give someone power over me. It makes me feel vulnerable, like I'm not in control of my own life." And we might say that typically we do mistrust authority, even legitimate authority, for two reasons, I think. One is that we want to protect ourselves from unjust authority. I used to work with a fellow who would tell anyone who would listen that we should not trust the latest directives from our bosses. When someone would say to him, "Oh, you're just being paranoid," his answer was always, "Yes, and around here, paranoia is just good common sense." But we also mistrust authority out of pride. It is in our wounded or damaged spiritual DNA to resent and reject power over us. In ancient Israel, it took a long time for them to accept the authority of a king, even though they had asked for one. Kings were supposed to reflect the authority of God, not their own authority. So we might ask the question today, can we trust God? The God who takes on our flesh, Jesus Christ, says to his Father in the garden, "Not my will be done, but yours." And then he goes out and gives his entire self, his body and his blood, for love of humanity. That doesn't sound like most of the rulers of the world, I think. But it does sound like an authority that we can trust and follow. In fact, it is the authority of the shepherd. In the Near East, a good king was often referred to as a shepherd of his people, one who takes responsibility to care for and protect his flock. Today's readings tell us that our God is a shepherd king. And although we probably don't like the image of being called sheep, our king wants to do for us what a shepherd does for the sheep in his care. The history of salvation in the Bible is full of shepherds. All of the patriarchs were shepherds, but so were some of the girls. Rachel was tending her father's sheep when she met Jacob at a well, and they became ancestors of God's people. David was caring for his father's sheep when he got the call to defeat Goliath and the enemies of Israel. The only shepherds in the New Testament got the call from an angel and were the first to see the newborn Jesus, the Savior of the world. Shepherds found pastures for the sheep to eat and wells or pools for drink. They protected them against animals or prey and against bad weather. They went out looking for the strays and they fixed their injuries. Above all, they kept perfect order, harmony, and unity in the flock. My wife and I were on the first stage of our walking through France to get to the main part of the Camino de Santiago in Spain. And the land in south central France was just full of cows and sheep. At one point, we were walking along a path in a beautiful pastoral setting, and we noticed some sheep coming around a corner, some trees ahead of us. And it was a beautiful pastoral scene. Then all of a sudden, it was apparent that there were not just a few sheep, but there must have been 1,000 or maybe more sheep, with half a dozen shepherds guiding them, all heading right down the path that we were standing on. And just at the moment when I wondered if I had read any stories, news stories, about people being trampled to death by sheep, we had no escape. But just as they got to us, they simply made a path around us, a beautiful, smooth, ordered path around us. It took about 10 minutes for them to file past without any incident. The amazing 23rd Psalm comes out of this tradition of shepherding. Recognizing the God who does all of those things for his people, the Lord is my shepherd. This was a song of trust in the shepherd's care. There is nothing I shall want. Now we know even in Canada that Black Friday is coming this week. It's a time when we will be encouraged to think about the many things that we want. And yet the Christian message is that no matter how much or how little we have or think we should have, God will give us the fullness of joy to fill our hearts. Sometimes finding new pastures meant passing through the deep valleys that could be dark and dangerous, with predators and frightening sudden storms. So the psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." The world has a hard time understanding this compassionate shepherd king God. Jesus Christ entered right into the middle of our need. He experienced the worst of everything that we experience: rejection, physical pain, and mental anguish. He stood between us and the ultimate dark valley, hell itself, and he took the blows of hatred on himself, hatred caused by sin. What an unusual king. The ancient prophet Ezekiel describes the shepherd particularly as the one who gathers the scattered and the lost. Back then, it was those returning to Jerusalem after it had been destroyed and they had spent many years in captivity. So God was literally gathering the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Jesus came to gather on a much bigger scale. He came to gather all of God's children in all of the nations in the world, all who have wandered away from truth and goodness. That's where we come in. We are the lost, because on our own, we are way too attracted to self-centered pride and lust and envy and anger and any of the deadly sins. If we can't see ourselves as lost, we won't be able to hear the shepherd's voice calling us together and asking us to care for each other. In the New Testament, the shepherd king image is used almost exclusively as a metaphor to describe the care that Jesus has for the lost sheep. Jesus declared his mission for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In his parable, he describes himself as the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes looking for the lost one. And he is the one who has the joy that a single sinner has returned to the flock. Disciples scattered like sheep at Jesus' arrest. But he says after his resurrection to Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." That is still what Jesus does in the church today. Christ is a king who does not kill anyone. On the contrary, he dies for everyone. He does not spill the blood of anyone. He sheds his blood for all. He does not sacrifice anyone. He sacrifices himself for his servants, whom he calls friends. The Redeemer is the one who gives life and freedom to his children, not the one who takes away life and freedom. But Jesus also made it pretty clear. There are two commandments: love God, love your neighbor. The gospel passage today is a dramatic reminder that how we follow that second great commandment will determine whether we live forever with the shepherd king, whether we will join him being shepherds for one another. We must learn to care for those whom Martin Luther King Jr. referred to as the least, the lost, the last, and the lonely. Jesus became all of those things on his cross. The cross was his throne for a time, and his power was found in what looked like weakness. Now we are asked to join him in shepherding those who are the least, the lost, the last, and the lonely. The church asks us to pause today at the end of the year and note that he is the king of the universe and to ask, is he the king of my life? What parts of my life show that I believe that Christ is my king? What prayer and action will I take during Advent, beginning next week, to prepare for the shepherd king to come again? Will I listen to his voice in the middle of the chaos? Will I follow him? And will I learn to trust in him again?